Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Lord, if you want me to have a raise, if you want me to have another job, if you want me in the missionary field, whatever you want, I know I will get it by doing what you want, doing it your way. I know you'll give me what I need. That's letting go of the world. It doesn't have that pull on you. It's not keeping you from following Jesus. When you're able to let go of that, whatever it is, and start really following Christ, it opens everything up for you.
We all have dreams and aspirations, some grander than others. Whether it's just a small raise, a completely new career, or even to be a famous and powerful member of society, those dreams often center around serving self. That income would allow us to travel or own a nicer house, car, and in general be more comfortable. As Pastor Troy asks us in today's message, have you died to those selfish dreams and goals? As a believer, you need to surrender and replace them with God's perfect will for your life. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 7 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
They were operating under the old law, but there was a new one, which included everyone. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So, Jesus had the qualifications. I know this is kind of technical, but for me, technical is actually helpful. The author knows that he's writing to Hebrews, who would have some technical questions, because he's calling them to let go of the old priesthood, the old covenant, the old laws, and to embrace Christ. And it would be hard to do when that's all you've ever known. Not only you, but generations of your family. That's all you did. That's all you know. What do you mean? Shouldn't the Messiah, our Messiah, he shouldn't wreck everything. He should fit in, right? But everything changed. And so they're being told, let go of the old. Don't try to embrace both. It won't work. Let go. You have to let go of the old, or you will not be able to move forward. You'll not be able to progress. The same is true in our walks. If you try to hold on to your life and follow Christ, it's not going to work. It will not work. It'll be too painful. It'll be too difficult. The challenges will be so immense because you're trying to hold on to two things. It's very, very difficult for me if I know my boss is asking me to do certain things that are not right. If my ambition is, I want a raise, I want position, and so my boss is the source. It's very difficult for me to not lie and not do the things that I shouldn't do that he's asking me to do when my ambition is over here and my desire is over here. It puts more of a burden on me than there should be. But when I say I'm going to let go of all of that, Lord, if you want me to have a raise, if you want me to have another job, if you want me in the missionary field, whatever you want, I know I will get it by doing what you want, doing it your way. I know you'll give me what I need. That's letting go of the world. It doesn't have that pull on you. It's not keeping you from following Jesus. When you're able to let go of that, whatever it is, and start really following Christ, it opens everything up for you. And he said, he will take care of you. He'll provide what you need. He'll provide the things. But if you're going to constantly hold on to things, you're going to be on your own. You're going to find it very, very difficult following the Lord because you can't. You're going to have a big struggle on your hands. But there are some who don't like talking about the background stuff, but to me it increases my faith, because I could take anything like a movie and get some spiritual principle out of it. I've heard people do it. I've done it myself. One example was always the Star Wars movies. You know, the Force, and then the evil, and the Jedis, and, you know, all this stuff, and the transition, and the struggle within, and all that. Man, it's like the Lord. It's like the Lord must have wrote that through him. Just for us visual people. No, he did not. It's dangerous to think that way. But we can draw spiritual principle from everything. If we try hard enough. But if it's not true, if the foundation isn't true, it's dangerous. Very dangerous. We come up with life principles that aren't even founded on the scriptures. Some movie that we thought seemed like the scriptures. So we need the Bible, and I need the Bible not just to be a bunch of verses that give me great counsel and wisdom. I need it to be true. And when I read it technically, and I discover about Judaism and who this was written to and how, when you read these letters, you go, man, somebody did not just write all this stuff together. There's too many details. There are too many details for somebody to think about. Over these thousands of years, we're still in awe of this book. How accurate it is. I know there are many who will say, well, it contradicts itself. They've been saying that for so many years, and we still aren't changing it, except updating the language every now and then, but none of the content. Because we're like, where? Show me where. It doesn't. It's true. And the more excavating we do over in that land, the more we find is true. Well, we can't find this name. Oh, all of a sudden, there he is. I love it when they say that. It seems like we find another city or plaque or something. But if this Bible isn't true, why believe it? Why embrace this over another faith? But let me encourage you. This Bible, you can invest your life in. You can trust that it is the Word of God and that there is only one God. And in the end, we will meet Him. And nothing we did outside of His desire for us will matter. That's why it's so important that we fix our eyes on Him and not on ourselves. If you hold on to yourself, you will be miserable. But if you deny yourself, live for Christ, you will find, as the scripture says, life and life abundantly. So, verse 12 says, if the priesthood changed of necessity, there's also a change of the law. The law has changed. Back then, you had to go through a priest, right? That was the law. Today, you don't go through a priest. You do not go through a priest. That role is filled. There is only one that we go through. You don't go through a pastor. You don't go through a bishop. You don't, whatever you want to name it, you don't go through that person to get to Christ. You have direct access. That was the tearing of the veil represented that. There are no priests today like there were then. And it would be wrong for any priest, pastor, bishop, you name it, to think of themselves to be greater than any other believer. The Bible says that we are all a holy priesthood, a holy nation. All have equal access, just like the priest would have access. We all have access to the Lord, the same access. So no one person is more of a priest than any other person today. There are gifts and roles. There are positions in the church. There are giftings that God gives. You don't have to come to me to get to the Lord. He speaks to you. And I certainly shouldn't be the one coming to you with brand new insight for your life, because God has your address. I may come in and confirm it, but it wouldn't be something brand new. God speaks to you. And I don't have all the answers for you. I can teach you the scriptures, but if you were to say, what does God want me to do here? Now, if there's an obvious biblical principle, then I can see a clear path. I'd say, well, he would not have you do that. So this must be the choice. But there are many times where either is good or neither is good. But when they're either are good, it's like, I don't know. I'm not the Lord. You have the Lord. You need to follow what you believe God is saying to you. Don't blame it on your pastor. Well, pastor said, don't blame me. You follow the Lord. And what I find often is some will come for counsel. They've already heard from the Lord. They know what the Lord has said. But they'll come to me for counsel, and they're hoping I will tell them something. Tell me what I should do. Hoping that what I tell them to do will not be what God had said, because they don't want to do that. And if me as a pastor can say something different, which can happen. I mean, sometimes there are several good options. Then they can go, oh, good. Thank you. That was wonderful. I didn't think of that one. And you go away. God had already spoken to your heart, but now you've found an excuse, a reason, and someone to blame. That happens more than I care to confess, because you know you hear from the Lord if you're a believer, if you follow him. He has your number. So listen to him, because he speaks to you today. There's one mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." So to go back to some system of sacrifice, or to go back to a system that says, I must go through a human being to get my blessing, I must go through a human being to get some direction or to have intimacy with God, to go back to that is to place a block between you and God again that should not be there. He gave his life to remove that block. Anyone you can go to, any human being that is not Jesus, is a sinner. And still, your heart trying to go to God through him is still not good. It's not good. It never brought perfection. But Jesus, you have access to him all the time. So don't go back to an old system, even though sometimes we bring that old system up with us. Don't go back. You have access to the Lord. In fact, the emphasis is on the fact that Jesus is a high priest forever. It'll never change. So it's not temporary until the next phase. You don't have to worry about it changing either. That's one thing that happens to us too, right? We get a teacher or somebody we really like, and then boom, they're gone, and we got someone else, and we got to adjust, and oh man, everything changed. Well, that'll never happen in heaven. You get used to his leadership. We fall under his rules, his law, his grace never changes. That's good news for someone like me. I like stability.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter, and book-by-book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
So it's out with the old law, in with the new, although the old law still stands for those who would reject Christ, because it will stand to condemn. Verse 18, "For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weaknesses and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God." New priesthood, a new law. We have a new hope in Christ Jesus. The former command, it says, was weak and unprofitable. It didn't help us at all. It's like the kind. It's like the person who says, "You've got this wrong, and you've got this wrong, and you've got this wrong. Bye." Well, help me instead of just, "You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. Help me. How do I fix it? You see it, that's fine, that's good, but help me." He says the law never helped anyone. It was unprofitable. All it did was accuse. The old law was like this. "You're a sinner. Oh, you failed. You're wrong." That's what the law did. That's it. It was not kind at all. That's the law. But the law made nothing perfect. We need to understand this. This is the truth that ignited the reformers in the 15th and 16th centuries, set them ablaze, changed their life. The idea that I, through keeping all of these laws, following all the church rituals, cannot obtain righteousness. I can never earn it. I can never be good enough. And following them, I'm still just as unrighteous, and I still don't deserve heaven. But Scripture says that the just shall live by faith. And they read this, and it set them on fire. It gave them hope, because they were busy paying indulgences like everybody else. "I'm going to sin. Next month's my birthday, and oh man, I'm really going to sin, so I need to pay in advance." for my sin by those indulgences. Next month's my birthday, priest, and I'm going to have to pay extra. That way I can let my hair down, enjoy my birthday that day. It's like, what? And it was a way for the church to make money. There's no such thing as indulgences. You don't buy indulgences with the Lord. I hope that's not bad news for some of you. You don't buy in advance the right to sin more. There's still consequences that come down hard, heavy. So the scripture says the just live by faith, following the Lord. The law, it never made anyone righteous. It didn't make you better. It didn't give you more rights to sin. And it certainly didn't give you the right to look down on other people. No one should ever look down on other people. You're a sinner. And I'll tell you what, if you are one who looks down on other people are looking crossed at you. Because you can see arrogance. You can see it. The law was never given to make people righteous. No one can keep it perfectly. In fact, Paul said, I thought I was doing really, really well until I read that you shall not covet. And I thought, man, you know why? Because he was keeping all the external laws. Looked good on the outside, but on the inside, he had pride, he had covetousness. I want that next rank. I want to be like him. He had something he wanted, and it was covetous. And he realized, man, no one can keep the law. Even by obeying all the external things, there's still a matter of the heart that is undealt with. The law was given to point the finger, and that's what it does, so that you would realize that you have a deeper need for a Savior. Paul said in Galatians 3:19, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. So it was given to point to him, to say, you're guilty, you need a Savior, you are done. Boy, you deserve hell, until we hear that there's a way out of hell. The seed comes. James, Paul said it was a tutor to point us to Christ. James said it was a law, that the law was like a mirror, that you look into it and you read it and you go, I need to change that. Oh, I didn't do that all that well. Anyone can come look at the law, but the law couldn't do anything to help you. The mirror shows you flaws, but it doesn't clean you up. So the old law condemned us, and it left us hopeless. On the other hand, it says there's a bringing of a better hope. Do you see the transition that takes place? One left you hopeless. Here's the laws, here's the box, fit in it, and you can't, and you're hopeless. But now this new law of life in Christ Jesus, it gives you hope because he will cover your tracks. He'll pick you up. He'll help you walk. He'll direct you. He'll lead you. He'll write on your heart his law for you, his law in bringing you to him so that you have intimacy with him. Ephesians 2:13 says this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We were once far off. We had to go through another man. But now we get to come straight to God. It says, because through him, through this new law, we draw near to God. The Jews could approach God if they were a priest. Other Jews could approach God in the court, in certain courts. Then there were women, Jews, who could go and stand a little further out in a different area, different section, and then there were Gentiles, and they basically got the parking lot. They were way outside, and that was about the best you could get in approaching God. I'm in the vicinity. God's here. Oh, you see that? You see that way, way over there? Oh, God's right there. I can see it. I can just, if it just looks like I could touch it. But you couldn't. You couldn't get that close to God. Gentiles couldn't get close at all, but in this new law, guess what? He said, I no longer see Jew or Gentile. I no longer separate the men from the women in their little courts, but everyone has equal access to me. That's what Galatians 3:26 through 29 means. For you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, For you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So there's no more jumping through hoops. There's no more being kept at a distance because of biology. No more biological advantages. We all have the same access. Now, I do like to touch on this verse because there are some that use a text like that to say, see, there is no difference in men and women anymore. God said there's no more male and female. That's not the context. There is male and female. God made them male and female, and he brings them along male and female. In fact, as you read the whole of the New Testament, there are male commands, there are female commands as far as their role and what he expects of them. But what he means is, in order for you to have access to me, women don't have to go through men. Gentiles don't have to go through Jews. Jews aren't standing here and Gentiles back here. Everyone, in my eyes, as far as access is concerned, everyone has equal access. The way is open, wide open. For those who are, it says, clothed in Christ, as many as you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So we all have access. So we have a new priesthood, a new law, a new hope, and the promise of a new you. You can be transformed as a result of this new law, this new freedom. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What happens for us very often is we kind of collect baggage and we put it in this weight that we drag around. And whenever we've done enough, we just give up. I'll never be good enough again. I'll never be good. I might as well be bad. I might as well behave this way. I might as well act this way because I always have. I mean, I've already messed it up. No sense trying to be what I'm not, right? So we have that attitude, and then we have an enemy who says, yeah, that's right. Don't be what you're not. But Christ says, no, no, I want you to be what you're not. I want you to be what I'm making you. I want you to take all that's dragging you, and I want you to forget about it. Never happened. I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to forgive you. And I want you to consider what you should be from this point forward. Don't think I can't do it because I never have. Get rid of that. You're new, and I'm going to enable you. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. I'm going to seal you. So now, breathing free, fresh, you're clean, you're pure, no defilement. Now, how are you going to walk? I'm asking you, how are you going to walk? Are you going to follow me? Are you going to listen to me? Are you going to keep yourself pure? Forget that you failed. Don't go there, because it causes you to defeat yourself. You're perfect in my sight. Be perfect. Walk perfectly. Oh, you failed? Okay, that's okay. Let's forget about it. Let's move forward. Be perfect again. Walk. Walk in that higher calling. Clothe yourself in Christ. You can do it. Are you the same person that you've always been when you gave your life to Christ? Was there any change? Are you currently changing? Are you growing? Is that change taking place? God wants to make you into a new person. Trust me. You might think you figured out enough that you're it. You're not. You're only it in the sense that he says, tag, you're it, now change. Because we are called to constant change. We change from the time we're born again till the time he takes us to be with him. Maybe today can be that day where you begin to walk in the new you if you haven't in a while. You can hear a fresh pouring, outpouring from the Holy Spirit of God into your heart and into your life. It gives you hope and direction. He wants to make that available today. Because the old is gone, the new is here.
Faith is something that sounds easier than it realistically is. As we've continued to study through the book of Hebrews, though, we hope you've noticed just how often faith is referred to. Many people have held on to their faith despite trials and despite personal mistakes. This wasn't easy, but we have their lives, the Word of God, and the support of the body of Christ to help us thrive. Here at Building on the Solid Rock, we realize how hard this journey of faith is for everyone. We want you to know that we pray for you often. If you ever have a specific prayer request, please email us at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can find out more about this ministry as well as listen to other messages from Pastor Troy by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast while you're there to never miss a new edition of this program. That site again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Pastor Troy will continue walking with us through Hebrews next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in